Michael Riedel in the morning on the Voice of New York.
710 WOR.
Well, turned out to be quite an interesting news day. Good morning, everyone. On a Tuesday, it is August the 21st. And, you know, Michael, that news out of Queens is fascinating with the arrest of this Nazi war criminal, 95 years old. He's already in Dusseldorf. And there are thoughts that maybe the German government will try him. Now, he's not German.
No.
And apparently, from one of the stories I was reading from NBC, is that they wanted to deport him years ago, but no other country would take him. Germany wouldn't take him, Poland and others. So they were stuck with him. And finally, the White House worked out something with the German government. And then Germany said, okay, yeah, you know, they've kind of changed their tune over there. Mm-hmm. And they took this guy.
He was a guard at a camp called Treniki in Poland, where there were several massacres of Jews in the camp and other people in the camp. And apparently, though, they were so thorough that not a lot is known about the massacres because they pretty much killed everybody. But I did see something interesting here. One bit of evidence they had is that a guard complained that he broke his rifle butt, and he had to write a report about it. And in the report, he mentioned that day they'd killed 4,000 Jews.
Oh, boy. And that's where it came to light, huh?
Yeah, Treniki is the concentration camp near was near the Soviet Union at the time, not too far from Lublin. The camp Majdanek was near it as well. I actually visited Majdanek in the 80s before the wall fell when I was doing a tour of Eastern Europe, and I'll never forget going through that camp. It was pretty much left as it was when the Russians quickly overran it, chase the Nazis out before the Nazis had a chance to blow up the camp the way they did at Auschwitz and Birkenau.
I don't think I could ever go back to those camps. I know a lot of people do take tours, and you did, but I don't know if I could do that. I've seen Holocaust museums, but I would find it tough going to a camp.
I think, I don't know, I think it's something that you have to do. It just shows you how man's inhumanity to man knows no depths.
Well, this guy is a name. He was a former concentration camp guard. I don't know how to, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Polish pronunciation is. But now, as he was being wheeled, he was actually wheeled out of his house. It looked like in a medical kind of gurney. But
94.
ABC reporters were yelling at him.
Sir, are you a Nazi?
He didn't answer that. Let's see about this question.
No statute of limitations on being a Nazi.
Any regrets, sir? Do you have any regrets?
Yeah, I regret I was being deported. That's what I regret. Chuck Schumer praising the White House.
He's a war criminal. He didn't deserve to live in the United States. He doesn't deserve to die in the United States, a place of freedom and equality where we respect each other's differences.
Well, that leads off our big three. The last living Nazi war criminal, a 95-year-old, is deported from Queens. Also in our big three, the president says talking to Mueller could be a perjury trap for himself, and he says he could run the Mueller probe if he wanted. We shall discuss. We'll also discuss Melania and what she was doing yesterday in just a moment. And rounding out the big three, that Colorado father who's accused of killing his pregnant wife and two kids. Now, he's claiming it's the wife who killed the kids. Yeah, then why did he take them and dump them in an oil barrel somewhere?
Forensic files. Just to clarify one thing you said, Len, he is not the last Nazi guard. He's the last Nazi guard we know of living in the United States.
Yes. Yeah.
There are others out there, I'm sure.
No, I meant to say a last known living in the United States. You're absolutely right.
You know, it reminds me, remember Ivan the Terrible, John DeManiac?
Remember that guy? That was from Cleveland, right?
He was in Cleveland, an auto worker, and they sent him to Israel where he was tried a number of times, but they never convicted him.
Interesting.
And he died technically a free man who was innocent.
So he was not behind bars?
No, he was not. He died in a nursing home, I think.
Hmm.
But that, the problem with that one was they had a lot of eyewitnesses who said they remembered him from Sobibor's Ivan the Terrible, but you couldn't use their testimony because they were, you know, it was 40 years ago. How do you convict somebody on testimony of 40 years ago? They couldn't tie him explicitly to crimes there, but they kept going after him.
But there are some that they have been able to convict.
Sure. Sure.
Wouldn't that be testimony from 40 years ago?
No. The way they got convictions on most of these ex-Nazis is that they found documentation, their signatures on orders, things like that.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, on a lighter note, coming up in about 20 minutes, we have the turning point of the Mets debacle last night. If you haven't heard what happened, it was a simple fly ball, score tied at one in the 13th inning, and the shortstop and the left fielder, Rosario and Smith, collide. A little fly ball drops, and San Francisco beats the Giants. San Francisco beats the Mets 2-1. They'll play again tonight. Coverage here on WOR begins at 6:05, but tough loss for the Mets last night.
Keystone Cops out there in the outfield.
All right, so Trump talks to Reuters yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He says he doesn't want to testify. He's afraid of testifying for Mueller. He says it would be a perjury trap. And then he had the line, I'm totally allowed to get involved in the Mueller probe. I could take it over. I can go in. I could do whatever. I could run it if I want, but he's not going to. He's decided to stay out.
Well, that's good. I don't think he should.
Yeah.
He shouldn't take it over. But he probably can. He is the chief executive, Len. He is the big boss. But he runs the Justice Department.
But isn't the concept of him investigating himself, wouldn't that trouble you in any way?
Well, I think he'd do a thorough, partial,
impartial
job. I think he'd be fine. You know, he'd be efficient, save us some money, get it over with quickly.
By the way, he probably would be walking into a perjury trap because, listen, he's not going to remember every... He says a lot of stuff.
Yes.
He's not going to remember every little thing he says in the same way that he says it. And I can understand that. I really can. I never thought he would testify to Mueller, and I never thought he should testify.
Well, he was saying for a long time that he wanted to testify.
Yes, he did.
He was not listening to his lawyers the first time around. I think it's because he does not believe he did anything wrong, and he thinks, listen, I can level with Mueller. I can tell Mueller, this is what really happened. I didn't do anything wrong. But the problem is, as Rudy Giuliani has pointed out, Mueller will be setting a trap for him. And anything he says that contradicts something someone else says, Mueller could then go after him because I don't think Mueller's got him on Russian collusion. So he'd love to nail him on perjury.
Do you think this Trump Cuomo thing is going to continue to fester? Or what do you think?
I hope so.
Well, here was Donald Trump yesterday talking about his good friend.
Oh, God.
And any politicians that get up and say that our country was never great, you heard that. I think that's the end of that career.
I'm not sure. You don't think he's going to get reelected, Mr. President?
He's going to get reelected as governor, but he has his sights on the White House.
Well,
and that quote is going to haunt him when he goes to New Hampshire.
I never thought he was going to be a serious candidate for the White House.
I'm sure he's so arrogant, Cuomo. He thinks he can be a serious candidate for the. Remember his father, like the Hamlet of politics, Mario. Should I get on that plane to New Hampshire? Should I not get on that plane to New Hampshire? Should I run? Shouldn't I run?
Yeah. Well, then there was Melania yesterday, and she was taking up the cause of cyberbullying. And of course, people point out the irony that while she's talking about cyberbullying, her husband's on Twitter, basically. Cyberbullying. You have to.
No, he's not cyberbullying.
Really?
He's defending.
Mueller a thug.
He's defending himself against people who are trying to take him down.
Okay.
Against people who are attacking him.
But the language: a thug for Mueller, a dog for Omarosa.
He uses colorful language. It's Twitter. You have to use colorful language on Twitter to get people's attention. All right. He doesn't speak with a committee of speech writers there, giving him bland, boring statements to put out.
Here's the first lady yesterday.
We still need to do all we can to provide them with information and tools for successful and safe online habits.
For kids. Now, here's what Conan O'Brien had to say.
Today, First Lady Melania Trump gave a speech denouncing cyberbullying. Immediately afterwards, President Trump went on Twitter and called her a loser immigrant.
That's not that funny.
Not funny?
No, it's not funny.
No.
You didn't laugh at that, and you're the anti-Trump clack over there.
I'm not a... You're starting to annoy me, Michael. Anti-Trump clack?
That's you.
You have a
yes.
definition of clack?
Yeah, clack is sort of the side that is paid off partisans rooting for their side.
Melania says she's going to travel to Africa in October without the president. She wants to educate herself on issues facing children throughout the continent. She wants to learn about the rich culture and history. So she really does beat to her own drum. There's no question.
I like Melania, actually.
I think most people do. I think if you took a poll, and don't they? They must take polls. I think she does very well. I mean, she's very likable. She's
very pretty.
Very stately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wears clothes really well.
I was going to say that. She rocks clothes. What else do you want the first lady?
I think that's pretty All much. Right. She's better looking than Eleanor Roosevelt.
Well, there you go, Mike.
You're better looking than Eleanor Roosevelt.
Your quote of the day. When we return, the Mets Turning Point contest for free tickets, and we'll compare my looks with Eleanor Roosevelt. Oh, and another edition of Real News, Fake News. You can win a WOR t-shirt if you want to play. Call us, 800-321-0710. Oh, Mark Simone's coming up at 10 o'clock. But first, Bernie Vider with traffic.
From the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Hey, it's now your chance to win a Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning t-shirt. It says 710 WOR in the front, Len Berman, Michael Riedel in the morning on the back. But you got to play Real News, Fake News to win it. So give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Be a contestant on Real News or Fake News, and you will win a t-shirt that I think Len and I will autograph. We autographed a few.
Yes, we autographed.
We've autographed a few t-shirts. A
couple of things. We're going to read you two headlines. One is real, one is fake. All you have to do is determine which one is fake. You win the t-shirt. And it's not just any t-shirt, Michael. It's a limited edition t-shirt.
That's right.
Because I think our budget, you know, called for buying like 12 of them. It was limited.
I stole very
rare limited edition.
I stole four. I gave a couple to my parents when they popped in. So we're 1-800-321-0710. I've got a real doozy of a headline for you. So
you
I think
okay, here we go.
I do.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel present Real News or Fake News. You decide.
All right, our first contestant from Watertown, Connecticut, Joe, enter and sign in, please.
Yeah, Joe, come on down.
Okay.
All right, Joe.
How are you, Joe?
How are you? Good, and you?
Good. What do you do up there in Watertown?
I'm a meter service mechanic for the local power company up there.
Oh, great. All right.
How's the power doing? Is it on? Everything good?
It's on, as long as you paid your bill.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Joe, I'm going to give you two headlines. You tell me which is real and which is fake, okay?
Okay.
First headline. We've been talking about the Nazi that they found in Queens and deported. Here's a headline related to that. A teacher who moonlights as a Nazi wrestler can keep his job. A teacher who moonlights as a Nazi wrestler can keep his job. That's your first headline. Second headline, we've been talking about how the Eagles displaced Michael Jackson's Thriller as the number one selling album of all time. Well, little known fact, but Thriller displaced William Shatner's 1967 album, The Transformed Man, which went platinum 29 times. So Thriller displaced William Shatner's great 1967 album, The Transformed Man, 29 times it went platinum. Which is the real headline? Which is the fake headline?
I never heard of the second one, so I'm going to say the second one is fake.
That's right.
You win!
All right.
Very good, Joe.
Right,
yes. Believe it or not, Springford School District has a teacher there who he's a wrestler, and he wrestles as something called the German Blitzkrieg. The German Juggernaut. Blitzkrieg, the German Juggernaut. Some people were offended because he gives the Nazi salute before he wrestles, but the school has determined that he can keep his job for now.
Wow.
Good job, right, Joe.
Hang on, Joe. You'll get your t-shirt. How about, let's get another player up here. How about Gita? Oh, that's Derek Gita. No, Gita in Far Rockaway. Hey, Gita.
Good morning, Gita.
Good morning. It's Gita.
Gita.
Yes.
Okay, Gita. All right, so you want to play Real News, Fake News, I guess. What do you do out there in Far Rockaway?
I'm a teacher trainer.
Excellent. You train teachers. All right, so I got two headlines for you. You got to tell me which one is fake, okay? Headline one, a woman opens a restaurant where you bring your own food for her to cook. Headline two, woman who loves cops gets arrested for her 93rd birthday. Which one is fake?
The first one.
Got two winners today.
Wow, good job.
Wow.
Good job, Gita.
I would have bought that first one. Yeah, this 93-year-old woman, let's see, she lives in, where does this lady live? She lives somewhere out there. She Maine, Augusta, Maine. She loves the Cops so much for her 90s. She always is a big fan of the show Cops on television. And always wanted to know what it was like to get arrested and sit in a cop car. So for her 93rd birthday, the police granted her wish, wished her happy birthday. So way to go, Gita. Hang on. You win a t-shirt.
Did they cuff her?
I don't know if they cuffed her.
Then they put her behind bars?
They tased her. She wanted to know.
They tased her. They cuffed her.
She's no longer with us. But it was a nice birthday present. Anyway. All right. Let's do the turning point. What do you say, Michael?
Oh, yes. It's now your chance to play the Mets Chock Full of Nuts turning point of the game. I want you to be the first person who can correctly identify the turning point from the game last night, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Phillies on September 7th at Citi Field. Give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. The turning point is presented by Chock Full of Nuts, New York's coffee since 1932. To purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets. And now let's go to Joe Bartlett for the news at 8:30. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Michael, a former Nazi labor camp guard captured by ICE agents in Queens, has now been deported to Germany. Yaakov Pauly was the last known Nazi labor guard to be living here in the U.S. He became a U.S. citizen in 1957, lied about his Nazi background. He's 95 years old and apparently took part in a 1943 massacre that killed 6,000 Jews. President Trump says he could take over the Russia investigation if he wanted to. That would mean Trump would essentially be in charge of investigating his own administration and campaign. Legal analyst Dan Abrams says it's not going to happen.
If the president's running that investigation, it's no longer independent, it's no longer outside, and it's no longer special. So that's not going
to
happen.
But he could if he wanted to. The president expressed concern about being interviewed by special counsel Robert Mueller, believing he could walk into a perjury trap. Where the truth is not the truth, as we heard from Rudy Giuliani. Gunman on the loose after firing at a high-rise building on the Upper East Side. The gunman has struck two apartments at 1 East River Place, and it has startled the residents.
Very surprised when we heard about this. I mean, in this neighborhood. I guess in New York these days you don't see these things as much, but you wouldn't expect to see that on the Upper East Side in this neighborhood. So we live around here, so it's, you know, it's concerning.
Yeah, I bet it is. The gunman apparently has been positioning himself across the water on Roosevelt Island. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh apparently wanted to ask Bill Clinton some pretty graphic questions about his affair with Monica Lewinsky. This according to a just-released memo from Kavanaugh's time as a deputy to Ken Starr. The questions focused on things like the infamous cigar and where it ended up.
Whoa, that's pretty graphic.
Yeah.
Mr. Kavanaugh.
Oh, so you shouldn't become a Supreme Court judge. Yeah, there you go. That disqualifies
me. I'm sure that's for you. Okay.
Merrick Garland. Have you ever heard of the name Merrick Garland?
Has nothing to do with this guy.
Yes. Okay. You pursue the evidence wherever it leads you.
It leads you to a cigar. You know where that went.
Between Monica Lewinsky's legs. What? I know.
Our news brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. Finally, here next month, we are going to reach a milestone. Interstate 95 will finally be complete. After more than 60 years of construction. Now, there's a government job for you, huh?
Really?
Yeah.
Never complete? You're talking about north, south, Maine, Florida, the whole...
Oh, the whole 95.
Where wasn't it complete?
Pennsylvania. This is 1,900 miles of I-95.
1,900 miles?
1,900 miles.
Oh, not the part that's not complete. I mean, that's the entire length of I-95.
The entire length. It was authorized, of course, by President Eisenhower in 1956, but was never fully complete. Because near the Pennsylvania border, drivers were forced off the interstate for 8 miles.
Wow.
Bloomberg now says after more than 2 decades of work and $425 million, they're going to get rid of the detour.
Wow. How come they didn't complete it years ago?
Government.
Government work?
Just say government.
And the local...
They should have privatized the highway system and it would have been complete years ago.
Local businesses probably held
that,
it up.
Well, that might be it, too.
Yeah, that could be.
All right, we'll open, by the way, September 24th, if you're headed that way.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to check in with a reporter in Colorado about this guy who is accused of killing his entire family. The story gets murkier and murkier. That is coming up. But first, let's get some traffic from Bernie Bider.
In the morning.
On 710 WOR.
And we're going to be going to Denver in just a moment to get the latest on this Colorado case involving Christopher Watts and how he's changed his story or came up with a new story. And this is quite a case, and we'll have that for you momentarily. But first, we have a winner.
Yes, congratulations to Robert Cohn from Queens. He was the first caller to correctly identify that the turning point from the game last night was this.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a high pop-up. It should get the Mets out of the inning. Left side. Rosario back into short left field. Calls off Conforto. Smith and the ball drops. and the Giants take the lead.
Yeah, obviously the muffed easy pop-up. It was muffed by Rosario and Smith, shortstop and left fielder. Boom, Mets lose 2-1. That's the turning point.
Laurel and Hardy out there in the outfield. Your next chance to win the turning point competition is by listening to the next Mets postgame show on WOR for the Mets Chock Full of Nuts. Turning point of the game.
Well, this Colorado story has been fascinating because a woman and two daughters went missing, and the husband, Christopher Watts, goes on television and says, we got to find them.
We had an emotional conversation, but I'll leave it at that. But it's, I just want them back. I just want them to come back.
Just wanted them to come back.
The kids are my life. I mean, those smiles light up my life.
Well, he's charged with killing both kids, dumping them in an oil tank, killing his wife as well. Apparently, he was having an affair. The wife was pregnant, so he's also charged with that crime, unborn baby. And now he's claiming that the wife is the one who actually killed the kids, and then he killed the wife in a rage. Anyway, to sort it out for us, let's bring in Chad Hoffman, fine news reporter at KOA News Radio in Denver. That's our iHeart sister station. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Assume this is a lead story front page in Denver.
Absolutely. All over the place. Has been for about a week, pretty much ever since he did that interview you guys were playing clips from, where he, you know, begged for his wife and kids to come back. And it's taken some bizarre twists over the last few days, to say the least.
Chad, what do we know about this guy, Christopher Watts? You know, what does he do? What do people say about him?
Well, he was working for a company called Anadarko Petroleum. They're one of the major oil players here in Colorado. That is, until he was arrested. They fired him that day. He had dumped their bodies on Anadarko property, or I say he's accused of dumping their bodies on Anadarko property. So he was fired that day, the same day he was arrested last Wednesday. We do know the couple had a bankruptcy a few years ago. They appeared to come out of that okay. The wife was heavily involved with, it's like a nutritional patch pill shake combination thing where you sell to your friends. And it's really taken a bizarre twist with everything. So this is basically what we know about him right now.
So I assume, go ahead.
And as far as friends and family, there are some that say, you know, ever since that interview, they had several doubts about him at that point. But previously, they thought he was a, you know, model husband and father.
Hmm. Now, what are people saying about his story that he's telling authorities that it was the wife who killed the kids? No one's buying that, are they?
Well, I think everybody's just in shock because they just released that yesterday once they unsealed the arrest affidavit, and that was included, and myself included. I was reading along when it was released, and it's basically shocking that all of a sudden this is how the story changes.
Mm. So he's an oil worker there. Has he given any explanation as to why he took the bodies and dumped them in that oil site?
No, I think that's the confusing part about it, is the fact if the wife did kill the kids, why did he take all three bodies instead of, say, calling the police? There's very little detail on the case. The prosecutors obviously aren't willing to give up too much at this point of the investigation. They're concerned it could, you know, taint the whole process.
Now, there's a death penalty case in Colorado, correct?
There is a death penalty in Colorado. The DA will not go on record as saying whether or not he's going to go after capital punishment in this case. He says it's too soon. Now, he would have to decide. He has 60 days from the point of arraignment in order to decide that. And right now, we're probably still a good 3 months away from arraignment.
We're on with Chad Hoffman, KOA News Radio Denver, on this this Christopher Watts charged with him and his wife, unborn baby. She was pregnant, two daughters. I'm trying to remember. I don't hear of too many executions in Colorado. Are they occasional, frequent? What's the story in Colorado?
We haven't had an execution in Colorado in years. Right now, there's a famous case, Nathan Dunlap. He was convicted of killing a number of people at a local pizza joint years ago, and he's been on death row for some time. Now, our governor Hickenlooper, has basically granted him a stay while he's in office. So there's been wide speculation now. Hickenlooper's out at the end of the year that he could commute that sentence by the time he leaves office. But yeah, we have not had an execution in years. And if you remember the Aurora Theater shooting case, they didn't even get the death penalty verdict in that.
Oh, wow.
Chad, do we know anything about the woman that Watts was having an affair with?
No, we have no. She was a coworker, and that's all we know at this point.
Mm-hmm. Quite a story.
Yeah.
All right, thanks so much, Chad Hoffman, KOA News Radio Denver. Appreciate it, Chad.
Yep, you got it.
All right. These stories come around every so often, but just the thought, you know, you see the picture of these two beautiful little girls, and it breaks your heart. And we've had this, just in the few months we've been working, Michael, we've had a few murder suicides.
Yes.
Where beautiful little children are killed. Here we have a murder.
We had the guy throwing the baby in the East River the other week.
I know. It's please. It's just unbelievable. Now, this is the father of the wife who was killed.
We would like to thank everyone in the Frederick Police Department and all the agencies involved for working so hard to find my daughter, granddaughters, and Nico.
Yeah, well.
The daughters' names were Celeste, she was 3 years old, and Bella, who was 4 years old.
And apparently he dumped them in an oil tank. Well, he worked at an oil company.
Yeah.
But he dumps them in oil, and then he has the gall to say, well, it's really the wife who killed her, but I just dumped them in the oil tank.
Yeah.
And this is what authorities said about the death penalty.
I don't have to make a determination on that until 63 days after arraignment.
All right. So they will make that determination. But interesting, as Chad Hoffman just said, they haven't had an execution in Colorado in years.
Well,
that's why I could. You know, you always hear of them in Texas or say Nebraska or somewhere. You just don't hear Colorado.
Well, if they find this guy guilty, if anyone deserves the death penalty, it's this dude.
Hey, Michael, when we return, Stormy's back in the news, one of your favorites, and the Miss America contest controversy. It's huge. But first, Bernie Biter, which rapper?
Hey, good morning, everybody. On Tuesday, we got some entertainment news for you now. A very big 80th happy birthday to one of my favorite singers, Len. Grew up with him, loved all his songs, Kenny Rogers. Remember Kenny?
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
The Gambler. Yeah,
that's got to be his most famous song. Yeah. I actually like, though, a song he did from 1981. Remember called Through the Years?
Oh, sure.
Through the years, through all the good and bad.
So why don't you ask us to put up the song? Now you tell us.
Because everybody knows The Gambler.
Well, how about this one?
In my heart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, beautiful.
I see no one else but you.
How about this one?
Dolly and Kenny.
Sail away in between. How can we be wrong? Sail away with me.
Wow. Kenny Rogers, 80. Very cool.
And remember, he's great. What was that one? Just You and I. Remember that one?
No. You know. Anyway.
Oh, good. So happy birthday to Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
Hey, I got some Broadway news for you.
Go for it.
You're not going to believe the numbers that Broadway's posting. Now, the
record setting.
Really? The new season on Broadway always begins right after the Tony Awards in June.
Yeah.
So since June, all right, grosses for Broadway shows have hit about $62 million just since June. That's a 16% increase over last year. In all, productions have grossed $451 million, on track to have a record-setting year. And New York City tourism looks like it's going to break records. They're forecasting 65.1 million people have come to the city in 2018, and a lot of them have gone to see Frozen, Mean Girls, Harry Potter, The Lion King. I mean, looking at these grosses, I mean, Hello Dolly's doing $2.1 million week in, week out. Frozen, $2.1 million. Wicked, which has been around forever, still up there, $2 million week in, week out. Average ticket price paid is $134. So people should know this. It is daunting to see a Broadway show because the tickets are really high. And that really bothers me. And they try to get those premium prices. They want you to pay $250, $300, $500 in some cases. But if you shop around, you can get deals on Broadway shows.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's great. I love Broadway, and I'm happy to hear that. And yeah, I was going to ask you what shows, but obviously Frozen's part of it, and Harry Potter.
Mean Girls, yeah. Tina Fey show, still going strong. And let's not forget Hamilton, $3.1 million week great in, show. Week out.
Even though you trashed
overrated.
It.
Overrated.
I thought it was great.
Overrated Hamilton. So.
In the room where it happens.
Yes.
Room
where play it some Kenny Rogers, please.
Yeah. Well, yes. I can do that.
I love Kenny.
You do? Yeah.
Yes. You got to know
when the whole. All right, Stormy Daniels not coming to Broadway, and she's pulled out of that. Remember, she was going to be in the British TV reality show, Celebrity Big Brother. She pulled out.
Yeah.
She did not show up. She said she withdrew because of a sudden development in her ongoing divorce battle regarding her 7-year-old daughter. So no Stormy in UK Big Brother. Hey, have you been following this big controversy?
Which one?
Miss America?
Oh, a little bit there. Fill me in on that one.
Apparently, the reigning Miss America, Cara Mund, is very unhappy. They're unhappy with Gretchen Carlson. She's the one who left Fox. She's the one who took a settlement of sexual abuse with Ailes, Roger Ailes. And now Gretchen Carlson, who's a former Miss America, is chairwoman of the Miss America. And, you know, they're having a lot of changes. No more bathing suit, no more swimsuit competition. Anyway, this Mund, the former... Cara Mund sent a letter to saying that she's been systematically silenced. They've reduced me. They've marginalized me. They've essentially erased me as my role as Miss America in subtle and not so subtle ways. And other Miss Americas, for example, this is Carissa Jackson. She's a former winner, and she told GMA. I mean, most of the other ones agree with her.
All of the leadership, to include the board of directors, is complicit in this. And in order for us to move forward and to actually heal, we need to do the right thing right now so that we can move on and focus on who's going to be crowned Miss America on September 9th.
Yeah, they're saying it's a big mess.
It will send a clear message not only to our new Miss America, but to the public, that we are willing to do the right thing so that Miss America, who is crowned on September 9th, will not have to go through what Cara has gone through.
Well, they're defending. The other Miss Americas are defending her, but... Gretchen Carlson's put out a statement saying not only does she disagree, that she's never bullied or silenced anybody, and now she's claiming that the contest, because of these allegations, it's already cost them $75,000 in scholarship money is what she's claiming. So
bullying at Miss America.
Yeah, so there's that big deal going on there.
Bring back world peace in the bathing suit competition.
Okay.
Because they always want a world peace in their bikinis.
They did, yeah. And to poverty, too.
Right. But they didn't wear bikinis, right? They wore...
No.
Were they full?
One piece. No, they were... They definitely
bikinis
wore
back
bikinis.
In the day?
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
They were always one piece.
I thought they were one piece bathing suits.
I will double check that. I am pretty sure I've seen...
Really?
Seeing belly buttons going on.
I thought they were one piece.
Do they still do ball gowns, too? Did
yes.
They did ball gowns.
Absolutely.
They twirl batons. And
and they have a little homemaker
do
competition.
Dishes
still?
On plates.
No homemaker competition.
Do all kinds
they
of
like, that's
magic okay. tricks.
Hey, also the state attorney general, Barbara Underwood, she has subpoenaed records from the Spotted Pig, a very famous spot in the West Village.
Sure.
Ken Friedman owned it.
Was that
Mario
the sex
Batali?
Room or
yes,
something?
That's where they harassed the employees. So they're investigating those allegations. They had the rape room, remember, on the third floor?
Right,
yeah,
right.
So the Attorney General is looking into that. I live right near the Spotted Pig. I go by it, and despite these allegations of sexual misconduct there, it is packed all the time, Spotted Pig. So
all right.
I'm boycotting it because I stand by women. I do.
Good for you.
All right. When we come back...
Don't do anything else with them. You just stand by them.
I stand by them. When we come back, we got more on those goats found on the subway tracks, plus the Nazi in Queens has been deported. That's coming up after the news at 9 o'clock.
From the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Coming into our last hour here, Mark Simone will be up at 10 o'clock. Our big three stories. Well, we kind of shifted them around this morning, Len, because we've all been gripped by the story of the last Nazi in America living in Queens all these years, 94 years old.
Well, he's not the last Nazi. He's the last,
no, the last Nazi in America.
A lot of Nazis living in America, but,
well, no, but he's
the last war criminal.
Real war criminal Nazi, not those crazy right-wing white supremacist people, those people. Anyway, he has been deported to Germany. I think he's in Dusseldorf.
He was, from Queens. They took him from his house yesterday. Boom, he's in Dusseldorf.
I always think of that... That Mel Brooks lyric from Springtime for Hitler. I was born in Dusseldorf, and that is why they call me Rolf. Remember that?
No.
But from Springtime for
I love
Hitler,
the
from
show.
The
no, I love the show.
Yeah, only Mel Brooks could make fun of Nazis and get away
That's
with
correct.
It.
That's correct.
Anyway, but a true Nazi has been deported. He lied, of course, when he came here in the 1950s, I think saying that he worked as a farmer, was a farmer, but in fact he was a guard in a labor camp in a really notorious concentration camp where they massacred thousands of Jews and gypsies, homosexuals, all the people that the Nazi-branded subhumans back then. So good to find those Nazis. Keep hunting for those Nazis, I would say. Also in the big three, well, Trump says that he could take over the Mueller investigation. He could head it up himself. He could investigate himself.
That'd be a good investigation.
I think it'd be pretty efficient. Yeah. He'd be much more efficient than Mueller is. He'd wrap it up sooner than Mueller's wrapping it up there, Len.
Self-evaluation. That'd be good, yeah.
Uh-huh, good. And we've also got this weird story of the building on the Upper East Side, somebody across the East River in Roosevelt Island has been shooting into this luxury high-rise, and people are saying bullets have pierced through their all-glass windows there.
You got
a zigzag when you go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Very surprised when we heard about this. I mean, in this neighborhood, I guess in New York these days you don't see these things as much, but you wouldn't expect to see that on the Upper East Side in this neighborhood. So we live around here, so it's... you know, it's concerning.
Can you imagine if you live at one East River place and then the bullets have come flying through the windows twice from a handgun, they're saying?
Strange.
Yeah, strange story.
Yeah, I don't know what's
going
on.
How about the
here we go with the goats.
Yes, goats on the... Well, listen, there were goats running. They had to delay the trains. They were running wild. Now, where did they come from? But they were running wild in Brooklyn.
Slaughterhouse.
And John... You know, by the way, I just got word who saved the goats.
Oh,
it just came in.
Ooh. High on a hill was a lonely goat, her lay, hoodlay, hoodlay, ooh. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat, her lay, hoodlay.
Julie Andrews saved the goats? Are you kidding me? Julie Andrews came to the goat's rescue?
We gave the lonely goat herd a job. He was so lonely, he had nothing to do, and he went on the subway tracks, and he saved the day.
High on a hill was a lonely goat, her lay, hoodlay, hoodlay, ooh. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat, her lay,
hoodlay. Len is
It's a good thing the show is 4 hours because I waited 3 hours to play that song for you.
Len told me this was his favorite song from The Sound of Music.
I did not.
Most people like Edelweiss, the title song, but Len likes High on the Hill with the Lonely Goat.
You forget. You know, your mind, that's the way your mind works. You said when we discussed Sound of Music way back when, you claimed falsely that that was my favorite song.
But you play it all the... Any excuse,
well,
you play it.
I do, but just to annoy you, wasn't my favorite song. You got Climb Every Mountain.
I love Climb Every Mountain.
I don't know. I love a lot of those songs.
Hello, Do, Re, Mi.
Love that
do
song.
Do, A Deer.
Do, A Deer.
Stop female. Singing.
And then there's this song.
High on a hill was a lonely goat.
Natalie, help.
That really annoys
me. Yeah, I'm going to take that off right now.
Take it down. The goats are cute, though. I got to love a couple of goats that break out of a slaughterhouse. But, you know, if you're going to escape from the slaughterhouse, I wouldn't wait for a subway train because it takes forever to come. I mean, it's, you know, they could catch you before the end train arrives at your stop.
But John Stewart, and he's been involved before. There was a bull in the city that was loose, and he helps ship them upstate. So he has some kind of a relationship with a group upstate.
I think he actually owns his own sanctuary.
Is it his?
Yeah, it's his. Yeah.
And he's taking the goats.
That's where the goats are.
Have you ever eaten goat?
Never. Not once.
Have you, Natalie? You're Greek.
What? No. What does that have to do with it?
Greeks eat goat. I spit in my yard and I put the goat out there.
I know. I ate some goat. You know,
really?
I mean,
and it tastes like chicken.
Well, no, it tastes like, it's mutton. Yeah.
No, I have never had goat.
Really?
You get me?
I'm so surprised.
Have you ever had an olive?
Yes, I've had olives.
Because Greeks eat olives, too.
Greeks are known for eating goats.
Guess what? They eat pizza, too.
They do.
I will tell you, Michael.
Do you eat stuffed grape leaves?
Domades, absolutely. Have them in my refrigerator right now.
Oh, I call them dolomites. How do you pronounce
them? Domades.
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 Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. I buy them in the most enormous can you've ever seen in your
life.
They're
really, really good.
Yeah.
You don't hand make them?
I have done it, but it's a little bit of a process.
I know. I had some great domades when I was in Greece.
What is that stuff?
Stuffed grape leaves.
Usually grape leaves.
Just rice, but sometimes rice and meat.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have a good, what else? Oh, you know what I had? I went to a Greek restaurant when I was touring Delphi, the ancient Greek site. The Temple of Apollo is there, and I ate at a restaurant, and I had stuffed zucchini leaves. Which
probably stuffed zucchini flowers.
That's what I mean, stuffed zucchini
flowers. And
that's
actually very Italian, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It was a lovely dish, bright orange, the flower colored, and there was stuffed with
rice. Okay, stop getting me hungry.
I know, I'm really starving. When is lunch?
You know, the truth of the matter is you get my goat. I don't eat goat.
See, it took you, what, a couple of minutes there to come up with that?
You guys
Natalie
talking.
And I were discussing the menu for tonight.
You guys were discussing diet. I mean, the Greeks and the Italians.
I gotta tell you something. I can make a strong case for Greek food. It is absolutely superb.
I don't think you have to make a strong case. I think a lot of people enjoy Greek food.
It's very healthy, too. Very healthy. But
if you don't buy it out on the street, usually, you know.
Well,
it's
a gyro, right?
Exactly,
you know. Yeah.
But like anybody's food, you take it and Americans somehow make a bad version of it.
Simple sardines, a little olive oil, lemon on them, maybe a little thyme, just fry them on the grill. Could be.
Enough.
Are you hungry?
Yes.
Welcome to the
Stop
freaking
it.
Food Network.
Really?
What
where are you going
here?
With this?
I don't know. Man.
I'm
we
hungry.
Get back to the news?
All right. What's out? What
How about
else
the ABC
there?
Guy try to get an interview? You know, they were taking a Nazi out of his house in Queens. And listen to the ABC guy.
Sir, are you a Nazi?
He didn't answer.
It's a great question for someone.
Are you a Nazi?
Any regrets, sir? Do you have any regrets?
Yeah, I got caught.
Yeah, I'm going to Dusseldorf. That's
well, here's the thing we can't figure out. People knew this guy living there for years was a Nazi. There were protests before. Right. You would have think they would have arrested him a long time ago.
Huge protests. I mean, for a long period of time, this guy had, dozens and dozens of people in front of his home. Did you see them take him away, though?
Yes. It looked like he was medically in a...
Yeah, he looked like he was...
Looked like he was dead.
Right. No, really did. He was strapped into a gurney, looking like he was going into some kind of medical transport, and off he went.
What part of Queens does it say?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll have to go look.
And
Greeks live in Astoria, I know that.
Well, yeah. Did you ever have stuffed grape leaves? I looked up a story, and you're wondering why he wasn't deported years ago. Apparently, no other country would have him, and now there's been a change of heart. Now, he's Polish, but they sent him back to Germany. But Germany, Poland, and several other countries said no, they didn't want him, and that's why he wasn't deported in the past. You just can't deport someone to a country that won't take him.
Interesting.
So, but now Germany has changed their tune, and no matter how old they are, they're prosecuting. They may prosecute this 95-year-old.
No statute of limitations on being a Nazi, I hope. Yeah. I would think you could send him to Israel. Israel would have tried him.
With open arms, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. The way they did the Eichmann trial, which was
pretty imagine,
riveting.
Don't you imagine be a reporter and you...
Sir, are you a Nazi?
I mean, people do that all the time, these reporters. You might run into this in the newspaper business. These guys. Who was that friend you had on?
We don't run around asking everybody if they're a Nazi.
On?
You know, when I'm interviewing Bette Midler, I don't say, Bette, were you a Nazi?
No, but who was the, was he the photographer? Who was the guy we
funny,
had on?
Yeah.
He would yell out provocative questions. Was it Anthony Weiner? Who was he yelling out the questions
at? I can't remember.
We had him on,
yeah. He was pretty funny.
Yeah, but that's what you do. You yell out questions like,
sir, are you a Nazi?
Jeez.
That's what reporters do. When I was traveling through Greece, by the way, my guide pointed out a village, and she's pointed out a small little monument there. And in that village, 3,000 Jews were massacred, and the village was burnt by the Nazis.
You told me there are synagogues, but there's no one who attended.
There are no empty synagogues. So. All right. When we come back, we're going to check in with Victor Oquando, ABC News correspondent down in Hilton Head, South Carolina, where a woman was killed by an alligator. That's coming up, but first, let's get some traffic from Bernie Biden.
Bar.
At 9:23, a little bit of breaking news. If you were following the story of that missing Iowa student by the name of Molly Tibbetts, well, according to Fox News, the body's been found. No other details, but she's not coming back. Molly Tibbetts.
There was a pig farmer who was questioned.
Don't know if he's involved or not.
We'll be talking about that, I'm sure, tomorrow.
Tomorrow we will be. But two sources have told Fox News that the body of Molly Tibbetts has been found. Another story we've been talking about because it just grips you when you hear about it. It came out of Hilton Head, South Carolina. 45-year-old Cassandra Klein is walking her dog, and an alligator drags her into the water and kills her. They can't remember in the history of South Carolina when this might have happened before. And we have on the line now... ABC News correspondent Victor Oquando, who is in Hilton Head. And Victor, good morning. What's the latest?
Good morning. It's good to be on with you both. So just to put in perspective how rare an attack like this is only the second alligator-related death in Hilton Head, or in South Carolina in general, in about 42 years.
Wow.
So an attack like this does not happen often. So this woman, she was walking her dog right along the water's edge near a lagoon, an alligator lunges at them. Apparently, she tried to protect her pet. That gator latched on to the leash, pulling them both into the water. And unfortunately, the woman was killed trying to protect her dog. The dog did survive.
Hey, how, I mean, not to get too graphic here, but how was she killed? I mean, did the alligator take a bite out of her or did he drown her?
When alligators attack, and I spoke to, the communications director from Zoo Miami, what they normally do is they go into that awful death roll thing, but it's too early to tell exactly what it is that happened here. They still have to perform the autopsy and all that, but, all we can say is that the alligator got a hold of her.
Well, Victor, my parents live on a golf course in Florida, and there are a lot of lagoons and lakes around the golf course. There are signs all over the place that say, beware of alligators. Were there signs there warning people?
There are apparently signs all over this community, and it's just something you got to watch out for in the southeast, especially in Florida, where any body of water where you might find gators, there's a chance they might be in there. And they can come out of the water quicker than you can react. So it's always something you have to watch out for. And the advice is to just keep a safe distance and never walk with a, a small child or a small animal along the side of the water. Keep, 15 to 20 feet. That's the distance you want. That's safe enough.
Victor, I heard one report saying how alligators just don't jump out of the water to go after people or is it because of the dog? Are they theorizing that the alligator just was going after this dog as prey?
There's a couple things at play here. It could be that it just, saw something small and thought, okay, that's my next meal. But summertime is also nesting season, so they can be a little more aggressive as they try to protect their nest and their area.
Hmm. Do they give you any tips if an alligator gets hold of you? I'd always heard if you try to bang it on the snout or stick your hand in its eye.
If you have the wherewithal to fight back, and if you're able to do this, hitting it on the snout or trying to basically poke it right in the eye, those are the two things to do if an alligator, does get a hold of you. But usually they attack so quickly that it's tough to mount any kind of defense like that.
We're speaking with Victor Akindo, ABC News correspondent, Hilton Head, South Carolina, where 45-year-old Cassandra Klein was walking a dog near a lagoon at the Sea Pines Plantation. And that's a gated community, and attacked by an alligator, pulled underwater and drowned. What are neighbors saying about her or about this incident in this gated community?
They said she was a very nice lady who clearly loved her dog. She would just take this morning walk all the time. And they, gators are common down here, but as I mentioned earlier, attacks like this just don't happen out here. So this whole community, neighbors, everyone out here is just stunned, and I think from now on they'll be taking a lot more caution as they walk along the water here.
Victor, my parents, they have a little teacup Maltese, and they're always very nervous about the dog when he's out on the lanai, because it's been known that gators sometimes will crash through a screened in porch to try to get at a little dog.
They are so strong, they're so powerful, and they're faster than you might think. So just because they're sitting there calm 1 second doesn't mean they can't, all of a sudden lunge at you at the next. So, it's not just kind of like being in their line of sight, but any little vibration along the water too, they could think, okay, that's my next prey. The thing about it, gators too, though, is that they don't like humans. Like, that's not what they are going for at all. Once they realize that, okay, this is something we don't like, this is something we don't want to eat, they just kind of let it go. That tends to happen during these attacks.
All right. Thanks so much. Victor Akindo, ABC News, Hilton Head. Appreciate it, Victor. Thanks.
You got it.
Thank you, Victor.
Stories come along every so often, and everybody just, oh, my God, a woman is dragged. Remember he had that little kid at Disney World?
And
that happened there, and that's a heartbreaking thing, too. But just an unbelievable story out of Hilton Head. All right. Time for latest news headlines, and for that, good morning once again to you, Joe Bartlett.
Good morning, Len. A body believed to be that of a missing college student, Molly Tibbetts, has apparently been found. Two sources telling Fox News it's going to bring an end to a more than month-long search. Details about where the body was located not released yet. She's 20 years old, reported missing in mid-July after she didn't respond to messages from her boyfriend. She was last seen jogging in Brooklyn, Iowa, about 7:30 in the evening. That was July the 18th. Her family put out a public plea for her safe return.
Whatever happened to that pig farmer who was questioned?
We don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like a Netflix movie, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. Yeah, it sounds like To Make a Murder.
Yeah. I know it. Well, no more information. This is all we have. And, you know, it's not even confirmed that it's her, but sadly, it probably is. How about this? A judge has ruled that John Hinckley Jr., the man who shot President Ronald Reagan, can undergo a psychological exam in his bid for an unconditional release.
Really?
Well, he's already out on a conditional release, so he is wandering around from time to time. 63-year-old Hinckley was released on conditions back in 2016, but this could mean you're done.
Who was the actress? Was it Jodie Foster?
Jodie
right?
Foster. Did a fixation. Foster. This was what, 1980? Is that what we're thinking about?
No. It was 30... after 80 because Reagan was just elected in 80.
Yeah.
Senator Chuck Schumer praising the White House, which is unusual, but this after the White House ordered a Nazi war criminal to be arrested in Queens and deported to Germany. He'd entered the country in 1949, gaining citizenship by lying about who he was, and Schumer has praised.
He's a war criminal. He didn't deserve to live in the United States. He doesn't deserve to die in the United States, a place of freedom and equality, where we respect each other's differences.
Well, you don't hear that very often. President Trump expressing concern about being interviewed by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. He believes it could be a perjury trap. He also says he could run the Russia investigation if he wanted to, but he's chosen not to. News brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. Mayor de Blasio siding with police when it comes to a new trend in which people are taunting police. There's been a number of cases of both verbal and physical abuse toward the cops. This week, the Post had a picture of a guy rolling marijuana on the back of a police car. The mayor saying, knock it off. Respect for police is absolutely necessary. But a police union official says the mayor is too late. It's gone too far. These perps already feel they can do whatever they want. In fact, the PBA president, Pat Lynch, says the mayor needs to reconsider more than a half decade of policymaking that has normalized antisocial behavior.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Len, you know, we were just talking when Joe Barlow was doing the news that John Hinckley, who tried to assassinate President Reagan, that he can undergo some psychological evaluation and, you know, maybe he'll get out of the loony bin where he is. So you remember he shot John Lennon outside. No, sorry. That was Chapman.
Chapman.
Right.
Which one are you talking about?
Chapman.
Get your story straight.
Yeah, Chapman.
So we're talking about John Lennon, the guy who shot Lennon.
Yes, the guy who shot Lennon. So this is on my mind.
He's up for parole for the 10th time this week, you know.
Yeah. Well, this is on my mind because I just found the story. He shot, Chapman shot him outside of the Dakota.
Yeah.
Well, Lauren Bacall's apartment in the Dakota is up for auction, expected to fetch $26 million. She lived in the apartment.
Really?
I was in that apartment. I had dinner with her once there. Huge, beautiful, gorgeous apartment in the Dakota. These high ceilings and rooms that just go on forever. She lived there 53 years, and now they're settling her estate. She died a couple of years ago. And you can have Lauren Bacall's apartment, Betty Bacall's apartment, for $26 million in the Dakota, one of the great addresses in New York City.
I was in Leroy Neiman's apartment in
the
Dakota.
Oh, the artist.
Yeah. And, absolutely big studio, big bright light. That's why he loved to paint and draw there. And very tall ceilings.
Enormous.
The late Leroy Neiman, late great.
And also, of course, the Dakota is famous for Rosemary's Baby. Remember that movie?
How about Cafe des Artistes? Is that still there?
No, I think that's gone.
Is the restaurant gone?
Yeah, I think that's gone. But I loved Rosemary's Baby. John Cassavetes, Mia Farrow, and all the creepy old people who are devil worshippers living there in the Dakota.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Hey, we talked about the story the other day. Natalie was upset about this, so we must have talked about it yesterday because Natalie just got back yesterday from her world travels. But there was a high school in Texas, in the wonderful town of Flower Mound, Texas, where they put out a video to tell the girls that they shouldn't be wearing short shorts, so athletic shorts. So they put out this video. And the video was set to MIA's Bad Girls. That's one of our favorite songs here on the show.
Well, it's insane that that's the soundtrack to this video.
Bad girls wearing the short shorts.
Bad girls of the bad girls. Nothing talking about bad.
No,
bad
it wasn't
girls.
That one. But.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Whoops, am I dating myself?
Yeah.
You think? So anyway, the principal put out this video with this Bad Girls song, and it showed the girls, quote, according to USAtoday.com, bebopping through the school, oversized T-shirts and short shorts, and the bad girls in the video are sent to a classroom labeled dress code violators, where a female teacher punished them by forcing them to repeat the phrase, I will not wear athletic shorts. Well, This blew up in their face.
How could it not? And how did it ever get? How did they ever think this was the right thing to do? I don't understand it. Well, and the girls who did the video, my daughter ever did that, I would.
But the other,
what would you do? Would you ground her?
I'd be really upset with her. I'm like, what were you thinking?
But the other point was that boys did not get any primer on what appropriate dress was. So that's part of what they were upset about.
Well,
so anyway,
a huge part.
The principal came out the next day and issued this is a good apology. The principal, Will Skelton, he said, "We believe the video would be a good way to replace the fashion show." I guess they would do a fashion show to show kids what to wear and not to wear. "But this video absolutely missed the mark. Please accept my sincere apology for not ensuring our video achieved its intended purpose to remind all students of our dress code expectations." So that's a good apology. Mm.
I think kids should wear uniforms.
Oh, too late. Natalie wants this guy fired. What do you want?
I don't want him fired, but I just wish he would have fought twice. Or anybody around him.
Fire him. If you were on that PTA, you'd get his head.
It's the school board.
School board.
When he has to come up for Scottract.
That's going to be a problem. Hey, we all love the Pope, right?
Yes.
Well, he is confronting this one day after another. Scandal, sexual abuse, and Catholic priest. Pope Francis, facing sexual abuse crisis in several countries, wrote an unprecedented letter to all Catholics on Monday, asking each one of them to help root out, quote, this culture of death, and vowing there would be no more cover-ups. The people of God, church language for all members, the Pope appeared to be launching an appeal for all Catholics to face the crisis together and not let it tear the church apart. I mean, how many instances of abuse down there in Pennsylvania?
Well, they claim there were 300 priests, 1,000 cases. But, we had Bill Donahue from the Catholic League on, and others have said the same thing. A lot of these cases are old. Many of the priests have died, and they said there have been steps taken in recent years where this has really not happened. None of these cases are recent. Mm-hmm. So they're claiming, and what the Catholic League and Bill Donahue and others have said, is that, hey, they've taken steps, and they're correcting things, and they're working hard at it. And this is not as much a current problem as a past problem. And
well, you have to face up to the past, though.
Oh, absolutely.
And the Pope is doing that.
Yeah.
I have a cute story quickly about the Pope. I was in Buenos Aires a couple of years ago, and of course that's where Pope Francis is from.
Sure.
And when he was living there in his church, every morning he would go to the local newsstand and buy his newspaper from the same guy for years and years and years. And then when they made him Pope, he actually called the guy from the Vatican and said, "You can cancel my newspaper subscription.
Did he really?
I won't need it anymore." It's a cute Pope story, I think.
Well, I love the scenes, and I don't know if the other popes do it as well, but he always, once a year, he goes and washes the feet of the poor, and he seems like a great guy.
I love it when he gets out of the Pope bubble and just plunges into the people, and they all go crazy trying to shake his hand and whatnot. So,
by the way, earlier in the show, You claim that Melania Trump is prettier than Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yeah, it's an offhand remark, yes.
And then you said that I was prettier than Eleanor Roosevelt. did you see what one of our listeners did? This is great. On our Twitter page, at Len Michael WOR.
Yes.
He puts up side by side. I don't know what his name is. His Twitter handle is... Mr. something Gubalon, whatever his name is.
Franklin D. FDR.
He put up side by side pictures of Eleanor Roosevelt and me dressed as Eleanor Roosevelt. And he wrote, "Sorry, Len, we love you, but Eleanor's got you beat on this one."
How did he know?
I thought I looked pretty good in the hat. I really did.
How did he know that was your drag costume?
You know what? I think she does look better than me.
There is a similarity, I have to
Wasn't
say.
There? It was a cute picture.
Well, you know, on Gay Pride Day, Len always marches in his Eleanor Roosevelt costume.
There you
Did
go.
You know that?
That's
down in the village.
Now, is this? Now, can they see this on our Twitter handle? If
yeah,
they
it's
see
up
this,
there, isn't it,
Natalie? Or do we
of
have
course,
to post
yes.
it?
Of course, yes. No. It'll be there.
So it's at Len Michael WR. Let me know if I outpoint Eleanor Roosevelt in the looks department. This is very meaningful to me. That's why I took this job in radio, to find out if I'm prettier than Eleanor Roosevelt.
All right. When we come back, free the animal crackers. Your favorite snack is getting a makeover. We've got the details. But first, let's get some traffic from Bernie Biden.
UOR.
Yeah, we're coming up on 9:54 at the top of the hour. Don't forget, Mark Simone is coming your way. By the way, Thursday, shaping up as a very interesting show. I'm sorry these two guests will not be on at the same time. That would have been fun. From 7 to 7:30, we're going to have The Mooch live in our studio. Anthony Scaramucci. And guess who we're going to have at 9:40 Thursday morning?
Oh, I know. going to be good.
Omarosa. Omarosa is going to join. Too bad they couldn't be out at the same time. Now, that would be some fireworks.
They could co-host the last hour of the show together. That would be fun.
The Mooch and Omarosa on Thursday. How's that for a double play combination?
So that would be fun. That would be fun.
Hey, do you like animal crackers?
I do. I grew up with animal crackers. Yeah. Animal crackers. There you go. In my soup. Barbara Streisand.
Monkeys and rabbits loop the loop. Gosh, oh gee. But I have fun swallowing animals one by one.
I love that song.
Animal crackers in my set. That's an old time.
It's a Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple.
Wow. What did you tell us this morning? That little girls tap dance to this?
It was always a big dance recital dance for little girls tap dancing.
Animal crackers.
But they don't do much. They just, you know, tap.
Now you wonder why I'm bringing up animal crackers. Well, Nabisco is redesigning the iconic animal cracker package. You know, they always had the circus animals.
Yeah,
they're
in with the little handle, the
cages,
string handle.
Whatever.
And they're in the cages they were in a circus parade.
Well, it actually looks like a train car.
That's right. Well, PETA has come through.
Oh no!
Given the egregious cruelty inherent in circuses, blah blah blah. Anyway, Nabisco caved, and now the animals will run free.
They're free.
Monkeys.
Well, that's
animals we had are running free we on had a woman, box of animal crackers.
We had a woman who was eaten by an alligator. Now you're gonna have a lion running around on the animal cracker box eating your kid.
Well,
you know, the animals are free.
You want to go check it out? We got some great videos. Another one I'll tell you about in a minute. But
PETA is crazy.
You can see the pictures of
the new animal crackers.
New animal crackers. Check it out. 710WOR.com/LennonMichael.
PETA, they are such radicals. I remember a story. It's probably apocryphal, but I heard it way back in the 80s when PETA was very aggressive and radical. Apparently, they were demonstrating outside a building on Park Avenue where a lot of rich people live. And this woman comes out of the building with this beautiful fur coat on. And one of these PETA activists, some girl runs up to her and says, "Do you know how many animals they had to kill to make that coat?" And the woman looks at the girl. She says, "Sweetheart, do you know how many animals I had to bleep to get this coat?"
Oh my goodness.
I love that PETA story.
I never heard that one.
That's a good one.
I'll tell you, PETA, they would come after me all the time. I would do my little feature spanning the world. And whenever I used animals in there, and they were never hurt.
Right.
They would write, they would call, they would demand, they'd raise all this ruckus. I remember one clip we had was a cat in Detroit jumped off a telephone pole from high.
Yeah.
And landed on his feet, was fine.
It survived, yeah.
Just fine. PETA, crawl, it's terror, how can you show that? I don't know. I think they're all nuts.
They are crazy.
That is a funny
story. They used to throw paint on people's fur coats.
Yes.
Remember back then?
Hey,
by the way, they know the animals on the box of animal crackers is just a picture.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Good point, Natalie. Very good point.
Born free as the wind.
So
when you check out that picture on our website, check out this video I posted. I don't know if you know how it works, but the golfers have to try to qualify to earn their PGA Tour card.
Mm-hmm.
And once they qualify, they can play on a PGA Tour for an entire year.
And make some money, probably.
And make money.
Right.
But struggling golfers, really, and it's tough every year. They have to compete on the web.com tour. Well, this poor guy, Kevin Daugherty, came to the last hole. He needed a birdie, and he had this chip shot, 25 feet. And, he listened to the crowd.
Whoops.
The ball literally misses by an inch.
Oh,
and that cost him. Isn't it painful?
Painful to watch.
And it cost him his PGA Tour card, poor Kevin Daugherty. Hopefully he'll make it next year. Talk about missing an inch is as good as a mile. Missing by an inch.
I kept watching thinking there's got to be a good gust of breeze or something that's going to come by and let that ball go in.
Too bad. If he didn't sink it, he doesn't get his PGA.
Yeah, he has no sympathy.
Heartless.
Hey, you got another great airplane story for us, don't you, Michael?
Oh, yeah, this is a good one. A 24-year-old American man flying from Chicago to Japan was arrested after he urinated on a fellow passenger during the Trans-Pacific flight. This was on All Nippon Airways. According to reports, the unidentified passenger got up from his seat and peed on a 50-year-old Japanese man sitting two rows behind him.
Two rows. Well, that's some kind of stream. That guy's pretty healthy. A two rows. Got you two rows back.
The guy's
who was
not...
sitting, the people sitting underneath and the row behind, did they duck?
I don't know, but the man was restrained by cabin crew and then arrested by police. So this poor Japanese guy, he's not a member of the Mile High Club, but a member of the Mile High Golden Shower Club, apparently.
Oh, there you go. There's something to be said for being part of any club. Hey, it's been a fun Tuesday. Glad you could be with us. If you missed anything today, please check out 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Coming up next, Mark Simone after the news at 10 o'clock. Goodbye to you, Michael Riedel. It was a fun day, huh?
It was a fun day, Len. Tuesday always can be kind of draggy, but this one raced right by.
Well, let's give a final tribute to Kenny Rogers, who turned 80 years young today, the gambler himself. You got to know when to hold up.